Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the fan hotline, talk to our good friend Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette, who we had the double dip today because of the shortened week for the Steelers. So we had, on top of the Mike Tomlin press conference, we had the Pat Narduzzi press conference. And what did you learn today from the Pat Narduzzi press conference?
You know, I think Pat's really excited about the depth of what we've seen, Paul. And there's no doubt about it that he can be excited about it. I mean, this was a team down its number one wide receiver in Jared Wayne, down several defensive ends in Deion Hayes, Hollow Maldonado, and Desmond Alexander. And Nate Temple also got thrown into the defensive line mix as well. You know, then you look at the offensive line, Owen Drexel, Gabe Hoy still not in there. Like, there were several different things that you could look at for this roster and be like, man, that's another spot. But at all times, they held the fort, and they had guys step up. And this was what I said would be one of their strengths all season long, was that they had depth. And there was even a point during that game where I was like, man, I don't know if they have that kind of depth. But you know, I think that was the biggest thing that you took away from. He was really impressed with Nate Yarnell, who, you know, only 10 to 12 passes. But still, for a redshirt freshman to come in, his first pass attempt was a 19-yard strike into a sort of prevent defense look, where he hit the guy right there. He hit Penate Mumfield right down the middle, and it was a good shot there. So I think that Pat's in good spirits. They survived the week where they were in their roughest spot injury-wise this year against a team that they should have beaten. And they kind of know, hey, they got Rhode Island coming up. You know, it's not like they got to be perfect this week. So I think he knows that they kind of have a week here to kind of lick their wounds, gather their troops, and get ready for ACC play.
Yeah, when you look at this week, did he kind of give you an idea in terms of what it would look like in terms of who's back, who's healthy, and all that other stuff? Or did he give you the standard, it's injuries, we don't talk about that?
Oh, you know, Pat, man. He's not here to give anything, you know, the official green light unless he really feels confident about something. He did say that Keaton could have played and that he could have and that it was really, you know, it was tough to hold him back and all that other stuff. You know, I could see Keaton playing this week. I think it'd be smart to play him to let him get some rhythm before you get into ACC play when you really things start to ramp up. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they're like, you know what, if you still got whatever injury it is that's ailing you, because again, we're not allowed to say what it is even if we heard it from someone else. Even if you have that injury there, it's like they can say, you know what, there's no reason to risk furthering that if you're still not 100%. And it's because, again, it's Rhode Island. You know, this is a team that, you know, you saw how Pitt's offensive line dominated Western Michigan. I think you're going to see a lot more of that in this game. Like, Izzy Labonte-Kanda ran 31 times. He might run 35 this weekend. But I think they also will give Vince Davis and Thibaut Flemister a lot more shots as well. But I could see Keaton being healthy for this game and then even giving him a half to play. But I also think that this is a game that Pitt boat races really early, and you start to see a lot of the reserves come in there. So you will see Nate Yarnell at some point come back in. But I think they'll be a little bit healthier this week. But I think guys like maybe Baldonado, maybe Wayne, like guys like that who got hurt in this last game, maybe they take a week off just to kind of get them back to 100%. But the quarterback, they need him to get in rhythm with what Frank Cervelli's given him.
Yeah, I think that when you play against Rhode Island, you probably have – a little bit of a luxury to, you know, make sure that anybody who's even a little bit banged up, you can hold them out. But, you know, sometimes if you do that, you send a message that to your guys that there's not the sense of urgency, and then you get caught, you know, in a 24-21 game, you know, midway through the fourth quarter.
No, yeah, I mean, you saw Virginia Tech not exactly handling their business until late in their game this weekend. But I do think that, that part of the trick there is, you know, everyone kind of gets the sense, hey, that this might happen. And then you just make a judgment call, you know, when it's time to make the judgment call. Like, you know, they went on the road this week. That's when they had to make the, you know, release the travel roster. But, you know, they'll be at home this week. So they'll have, you know, up to the time that they take the field to really make a lot of those decisions. And that could kind of, you know, keep that out of the way until the final minutes before the game. And you could kind of prepare all week long. So I also think it's a little interesting because for the longest time, we've seen Pitt kind of warm up with these games and then play the bigger teams on their schedule. And now it's kind of in the reverse where it's kind of like, you know, they have like a kind of a space in between. They played, you know, two Power 5 teams early on, Big 12 and SEC. Then you get the MAC, and now you get this team, an FCS, and then you're going to go back into ACC play. So, I mean, this is a little bit different of a pacing thing. But I think Pat has done a good job with the locker room environment for them to know that, like, hey, this isn't letdown time. This is, you know, if there are guys who need to be reprieved, we have guys all on this roster who can play at a full level and win the week for us.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, if they're able to win this one, they go 3-1, and, you know, obviously it's not 4-0, but 3-1 is pretty good considering the schedule they've played, and then they'll get ready to go into the ACC. And then I'm not sure if you've looked around at the ACC quite yet, but I don't see a ton of heavy lifting in the Coastal Division. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I know Duke and North Carolina are 3-0, but then when you look at their 3-0, I'm not sure you're really all that impressed. I'm just not sure who's good and who's not in the Coastal Division.
I mean, to be honest, Paul, I think it's across the board. It's not just the Coastal Division. It's the whole conference. You know, Clemson's going to be top five because they're Clemson and whatever. But let me tell you, if Pitt handles their business, they need to. I think Virginia hasn't impressed me, but you still got to watch out for Virginia because their offense can get crazy. You know, you got to get revenge against Miami, and you're going to be on the road with that one, and it'll be late in the year, so who knows? Their offense might pick up. And you know, North Carolina, you know, just handle your, you know, cross your T's and dot your I's on that one. But if they handle their business and get to the ACC championship game, I love the way they match up with Clemson. I mean, it won't be an easy game, but their quarterback situation, I think, is right for them to attack. I think they can get after their guy, and I think they can create some turnover situations and help them win. You know, and again, also, you know, as much as we could talk about how, you know, Miami's offense could improve, so could Pitt. You know, Keaton Slovis could find a rhythm in this new offense by that time, and we're talking about it a lot differently than we do now. I mean, you think back to this time last year, Paul, there was a little bit of excitement for Kenny Pickett, but it wasn't to the point. Like, it wasn't until they blew out Georgia Tech when I even wrote, hey, like, put a Heisman watch on this guy. Like, he might get into the top tier of voting as he turned. He finished third last year. But even that was considered very early by a lot of people. So I still think, I'm not saying Keaton's going to get that kind of numbers, but I think this offense could look a lot better. And I do think, you know, you're on something there. The ACC does not have, there's not a Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence led Clemson in the way. And there's not a team in the Coastal that I think that should trounce Pitt.
Yeah. I mean, I look at that ACC and boy, I mean, North Carolina might be the least impressive 3-0 team out there. Would you agree with that?
I guess it could. I mean, I'm not impressed by Duke being 3-0 either. But those two especially, yeah, like, yeah, they're great in basketball. This is not the year for them in football. I think they've survived, done what they were supposed to do to get there. But you know, Pitt sees them on the schedule, they should just stomp them out. So I really think that these are teams that Pitt can dominate in the trenches and also have the playmakers to. You know, both in the secondary and in their wide receiver core to, you know, exploit those two teams. So, yeah, I think the biggest thing is as long as Pitt handles its own business, play to your potential, do not have the big letdown game, play to what you can do. I truly think this team can run with anybody in the Coastal. I think they, you know, if Miami plays the level that they've been playing at, I think Pitt can beat Miami. And I think that can set up a really interesting ACC championship. With you know, and we still got to see, you know, Clemson, they're the top dog over there right now. But you know, there's a lot of 3-0 teams over there. And Florida State's still 3-0, Syracuse is still 3-0, NC State is still 3-0, Wake Forest is still 3-0. So we got to see how those guys play out. But I still think Clemson will be that team. And if it's Pitt, if you're Pitt, I think that you'd be happy with that.
Right. I mean, I think that's the big thing. It's just going to be real interesting to see how it all plays out. Chris, I appreciate you jumping on and taking a few minutes to break it all down for us.
Absolutely, Paul. Anytime.
All right. That's Chris Carter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.